Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How'd you get in here without wedding clothes, my friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Can the children come down for the children's sermon? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every once in a while, I've told you this before, but every once in a while when I'm, I've got a number of different magazines and things that kind of help me, you know, in sermon preparation. Every once in a while, I'll find something that, as I'm going through it, it's a great thing, but it just doesn't fit the sermon. And you think, I really need to do something about that. So this week, I had one of those things. I had a great story. It didn't fit the sermon, but it's too good not to share. So this is kind of like just a little aside, all right? So here it goes. A businessman got on an airplane, and he was going to take a business trip. And when he sat down, he noticed that there was a very elegantly dressed woman who was in the seat next to him. And as he looked at her, he noticed that she had this beautiful diamond ring, probably the most exquisite diamond ring he had ever seen before in his life. And he mentioned something about it to her, about how beautiful it was. And she said, "This is the Kloppman diamond." And she said, "It is beautiful, but there's a terrible curse that goes with this." Now, you know, you're sitting next to somebody on a plane and somebody tells you there's a terrible curse associated with something you're wearing, you know, you get a little jumpy. And so he was getting a little nervous and he said, "Tell me, what's the curse?" She looked at him and she said, "Mr. Kloppman." You're a little slow on the uptake there today. Okay, come on, guys, wake up. Yeah, it's too good for me to pass up. Mr. Kloppman, I like it. I don't know. Back there she is. She doesn't have an exquisite diamond for somebody to do that. Too broke. Okay, anyway. She does have a diamond, but it's just not exquisite. All right. So, for those of you who know me pretty well, you know that if somebody tells me that I really can't do something, one of the things I'm going to do is probably try to do it as long as it's not something too stupid. Okay? I hate for somebody to tell me I can't do something. My son does this to me all the time. Yeah. "Oh, Dad, you can't lift that." That's why I come in here like this half the time with my back, because I have to prove my son wrong. But anyway, as I was preparing for the sermon this week, I kept coming across things about this gospel lesson that we had. And the first author that I read said, "Matthew's parable about the wedding banquet gone wrong is a challenge for preaching." And I thought, that's good. I love challenges. I'd like to be challenged. The next author said, Preachers will not be able to extract a practical lesson from this text. There are no nuggets of wisdom to be applied to a congregation. I thought, yeah, right. But it was the third one that got me. This is the ultimate challenge. I'm not sure this parable is conducive to a Christian sermon at all. Well, even that's like just somebody taking the gauntlet and smacking you across the face saying, what are you going to do about this? So we're going to do something about it. Hopefully it's Christian. No, it is. It is. But we're going to take a look at this parable and see what it has to say to us today. Because, yeah, it did have a message for people back then. But it also has something for us to look at, to think about. And it has something to say to us today. Now, back in Jesus' time, when somebody was going to throw a big banquet or a party, there were two invitations that were sent out to people. Because you've got to remember that in Jesus' time, this whole idea of shame and... That shame was an important part of life. You didn't want your name to be shamed. So all that stuff was really important. So when you were going to throw a big party, what you would do is you would send out a servant to clear the date. And he'd go around to everybody and say, okay, I want to do the party this day. Is that going to work? Yep. I'm going to do the party this day. Is that going to work? Yeah. And you'd come up with a date, and everybody would take out their cell phones, you know, their iPads, their iPods. They'd plug the date in, and that was the thing. It was a good to go, because you didn't want to throw a party on the same day that somebody else was going to throw one, or when people had all kinds of other obligations, which meant that they couldn't be there. And then, once it came time for the party, then you sent the servant out a second time. And the second time, what would happen is, the meal would be prepared, the food would be cooked, the wine would be uncorked, it had had time to breathe, the candles had been lit, flowers were on the table. And you went out and you said, all right, pull out your iPhone, this is the day, remember? Let's go, come on down. So what we have is a king who did that. He went out and he sent out his servants and he said, I want to have this wedding feast for my son. Can you be there? Oh yeah, we'll be there. Stuck it in the iPad, everything was great. Meal was prepared, wine had been uncorked, candles had been lit, and he sent out his servants and he said, everything's ready, come on down. And people said, oh, you know, I can't do that. Well, in a culture where shame and disgrace play a big part of life, that's not a good thing. And so the king thought, you know, maybe we just need to send servants a second time. They just need a little gentle reminder that, yeah, you really do need to come. I'm counting on you. I want you to be there. So he sent them out the second time. And he went around to people, and the first guy said, you know, I'm just too busy. I got to paint my house today. And the next guy said, well, I'd really like to come, but I bought a cow, and I need to go check on it, make sure it's okay. Third guy said, you know, I would really like to come, but the camel races are today, so I need to go. Fourth one, I've got this camping trip planned. Next one, I'm just kind of tired. I don't think I can make it. And then there were some who just got tired of being hassled by the servants, and so they started roughing them up a little bit. And then, you know how it is sometimes when you rough somebody up, you get a little too rough, they got a little too rough, and they got rougher and rougher, and eventually they killed some of them, and then the king got angry. But he still had all this stuff. He's got the spread, he's got all this food, all this stuff out there. And so he said to his servants, go out and just drag in anybody you can find. And he did. They went out, they got the rich, the poor, the lame, the weak, the strong, the crippled, the rich, the poor, anybody they could lay their hands on. They said, come on down because there's this amazing party and you're invited to it. And they came. The king walked in and he was really happy because the place is filled. All except for one guy. Everybody else, they'd cleaned up before they came. Washed their face, combed their hair. One guy didn't. And probably he was, you know, maybe he was a poor guy. Maybe the only thing he needed to do was wipe the ketchup and mustard off the front of his shirt. But he didn't, so they threw him out. But the rest of the people enjoyed this feast that all these other folks had missed because there were so many other things that they thought were more important. Now, typically when people look at this parable, the interpretation of it is that Jesus is continuing to pick at the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders and point out to them that they're just not getting it. That all these other people, the poor, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinful people, they're understanding Jesus' message better than they are. And so that's why they figure it's so difficult to talk about this parable, because it's just an indictment against them. And that's a fair thing. It is an indictment against them. But there's more to it than that. Because if the only thing this parable is about are about those individuals, then what's that have to say to us today? Absolutely nothing, and it lets us off the hook. Because we can say, you know, I'm not like those folks. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a scribe. I'm not a Sadducee. So, boy, am I glad that one doesn't apply to me. But the thing I've always found about Jesus' words is they always apply to everybody. Haven't you? I don't think there's anything Jesus says that doesn't apply in some way, shape, or form to each and every one of us. And I think these words do as well. So I think there's three things that we can take away from this parable. First one is this. God continually invites us to come and enjoy the party. God continually comes and invites us to come and be a part of a new way of life, a different way of life. And this new way of life that he talks about, he says, is so great. It's like the greatest feast, the greatest banquet, the greatest party that you can imagine in your whole life. This is what it's like. And you're invited. But, there's always a but to things, isn't there? Here's the but. Oh, it's nice to have pieces of paper stuffed in here you can pull out. I don't know what they're in, but here's your invitation. I can give it to you. Question is, what are you going to do with it? You ever get invitations and you just... How many times do you get an invitation to a wedding, a graduation, some other little thing, and you think, yeah. Anybody ever do that? Sure you do. What do we do with God's invitation? It went flying, didn't it? All right. Anyway, do we take it and do we open it up? Do we use it? Do we treasure it? Do we go and be a part of it? Or do we ignore it? Because there is something else that we think is bigger and better and brighter and shinier than this thing that God has given to us. But what Jesus wants us to understand is there is nothing bigger, better, brighter, and shinier, more exciting, more fun, more life-changing, whatever, than the invitation to be a part of God's kingdom. So when you get that invitation, don't just take it and chuck it somewhere. Go, yeah, I want to be a part of that. That's what we're to be about. And the thing is that God doesn't just give us one. You ever notice that? God keeps inviting us over and over and over and over and over again, hoping sometimes, because, you know, we're a little dense sometimes. Maybe you're not. I am. Hoping that we'll respond. Second thing, everybody's invited, not just some folks. Every person is invited to come and be a part. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, how bad you think you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how guilty you feel, how good you feel. Everybody
is invited. Not one of us is excluded. But the amazing thing about this invitation, it's different than any other invitation that you've ever gotten before, you've ever received. When you get an invitation, usually, if I give you the invitation, who's it for? Just you, right? This invitation's different. You know why? Because not only is the invitation for you, but you're to share it with those people around you. It's an invitation that's shared. God doesn't say, here, this is yours. He says, take it and share it with those around you. Let them know that I want them as much as I want you. The third thing is this. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But have there ever been instances where you've walked into church on Sunday morning, or you've been at some other gathering where it's a churchy gathering, and you look around and you look at the people that are there, and you think to yourself, what is she doing here? It's like the last place in the world you ought to be. What is he doing here? He shouldn't be here. Well, the thing about God's invitation is this. We don't have to play the bouncer. God's the bouncer. God looks at, God knows, and thank God it's only him. I don't want that responsibility, and secondly, I don't want any of you having that responsibility for me. Only God is the bouncer. Our job is to do two things. Respond and share. That's it. The kingdom of God is like a king who sends out an invitation. You got it. Now, do something with it. Open it up. Make it yours. Respond. Share. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing our hymn. It is hymn number 838.